Welcome aboard. It's Tuesday, February 10th. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press and the Barnes Review. Check out American Free Press at AmericanFreePress.net and the Barnes Review at BarnesReview.com or BarnesReview.org if you're so inclined. Now, folks, tonight we have a very full hour ahead of us, and I do request that if you do have any questions or comments for our very special guest tonight, that you do call in, but please restrict your questions and comments to the topic at hand. And it's a very interesting and complex topic. Now, first of all, let me say, folks, that our guest tonight is Friedrich Paul Berg. We call him Fritz for short. I've known Fritz for many, many years. Actually, I think we've only ever maybe met once or twice in person, maybe talked once or twice on the phone. Fritz has been in the forefront, in the vanguard of the Holocaust revisionist movement for a long, long time. As you know, it was a recent commentary by Fritz regarding the decline of the Institute for Historical Review that spawned my week-long series of broadcasts last week, and I did invite Mark Weber, who now reigns supreme at the Institute for Historical Review, to come on board this program and debate Fritz Berg over the issue of whether or not the Holocaust is still relevant. Mr. Weber says it's not. Mr. Berg says that it is. Well, I have not heard back from Mr. Weber. But nonetheless, in inviting Mr. Berg, who immediately agreed to debate Mark Weber live here in this program, I did indicate to him that I would also like to have him on, as I am having him on tonight, as a guest to talk about his particular area of expertise, which is Nazi gassings. We've all heard about the Nazi gassings. Now, I want you to get your pen and paper handy, folks, because later in this program, I'll give you some information. Fritz will give you some information as to where you can write him, and I hope make a contribution to help keep his excellent website, NaziGassings.com, in operation. Now, folks, I will tell you this much. I'll start off by saying that one of the most intelligent people I never knew was my grandfather. Everybody I knew said he was one of the most brilliant men they ever encountered. He was a mechanical engineer. Now, let me tell you what mechanical engineering is. According to Wikipedia, mechanical engineering is an engineering discipline that involves the applications of principles of physics for analysis, design, manufacturing, and maintenance of mechanical systems. Mechanical engineering is one of the oldest and broadest engineering disciplines. It requires a solid understanding of core concepts, including mechanics, kinematics, thermodynamics, fluid mechanics, and energy. Mechanical engineers use the core principles as well as other knowledge in the field to design and analyze motor vehicles, aircraft, heating and cooling systems, watercraft, manufacturing parts, industrial equipment and machinery, robotics, medical devices, and more. Whew! That's a lot. You got to be smart to do all that, ladies and gentlemen. Well, our guest tonight, Friedrich Paul Berg, originally, I think, from New Jersey. I knew him when he was in New Jersey. He's now in Phoenix, Arizona. He received his B.S. in 1956 from the Columbia University School of Mines. He is a mechanical engineer. He worked as a technical writer and environmental consultant in the New York City area for many years. And, folks, as I tell you, this is the guy who knows the story of Nazi gassings, or the lack thereof. It's very, very important. This is a very important issue, ladies and gentlemen. There's an international controversy going on now with a bishop, Bishop Richard Williamson, who doubts that the Nazis gassed 6 million Jews. Well, now he's told the Vatican that he's going to research the issue further. Well, all he needs to do, ladies and gentlemen, is go to NaziGassings.com. This is the website on the Internet that proves, as far as I'm concerned, that Nazi gassings never happened. But when we come back in the very short hour we have ahead, we're going to let Fritz Berg give us a good solid overview of why they never happened and why Bishop Williamson was right to say what he said. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Kelarex from scienceformulas.com. Kelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Kelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Kelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Kelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Kelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Kelarex. Chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Before we proceed, I just want to say thanks to Mark Glenn for sitting in for me last night. I'm embarrassed to say that here I am. I was too tired to do the show, but here's Mark Glenn with eight kids and one on the way who is able to take time out from his busy schedule to do that, and I appreciate that very, very much. Well, folks, this thing about the Holocaust and the Nazi gassings, for years and years and years they said they killed millions of Jews with Zyklon B. Then they started backing off on that and said, oh, well, millions and millions of Jews were actually killed with diesel fuel. Even Pat Buchanan caught hell a few years ago for suggesting that maybe that story itself wasn't accurate. Well, there's one guy in the world who probably can talk about this matter with greater authority than perhaps any other person, and that is our guest Fritz Berg, whose writings on this topic have been included, obviously, in the writings of the Institute for Historical Review and in many, many other revisionist websites, and published in Germar Rudolph's Encyclopedic Dissecting the Holocaust. Well, that having been said, let me welcome aboard Fritz Berg. Fritz, hello there.
Hello. Hello, Michael. Thank you very much for that very
glad you could come aboard, Fritz.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'd just like you to go ahead, Fritz. I mean, I laid out the subject, and it's a very complex subject, but I'd just like you to kind of give our audience an overview of some of the problems that you found in your study of all this, problems that indicate, things that indicate that the official stories about the Nazi gassings just don't add up.
Okay. Well, most of the alleged gassings from the early stories already involved diesel exhaust. There was a fellow named Kurt Gerstein who was a member of the SS, and he went out of his way to try to convince the victors at the end of World War II that he had actually witnessed a diesel gassing and that he had had a stopwatch in his hand and timed it and saw everything. And this story really caught on because it was not just some guy off the wall who said, oh, yeah, I saw a diesel gassing. This guy was an engineer by background, and he seemed like just a super credible witness. And his statement, actually, there were five different versions of his Kurt Gerstein statement, became the cornerstone of much of the Holocaust story. And the diesel gassing stories have continued throughout the intervening years. Most of the Jews who were supposedly killed with diesel exhaust and not with Zyklon B.
And that's a point a lot of people are unaware of, because the popular story is the legend of Zyklon B.
Right. But John Demjanjuk, for example, when he was put on trial for his involvement in the killing of 800,000 Jews at Treblinka, he was blamed as the man who supposedly operated the diesel engine. And so there was a lot of publicity at that time, at the time of his trials, which have been many and which still continue to this day. He's supposedly the guy who actually operated the diesel engine, at least in Treblinka. And all of those stories seem credible to a lot of people who don't really understand anything about diesel exhaust. People, ordinary people anyway, they know diesels from diesel buses, and they smell the exhaust, and they think, oh, that's horrible stuff. It must be extremely deadly, dangerous, what have you. But in reality, diesel exhaust is rather harmless, not completely harmless. It may cause cancer in the long run, but for short-term exposures, it's quite harmless. And I just recently found a medical essay in which it's admitted that gassings or accidental deaths from diesel exhaust are virtually unheard of in the medical community, and medical literature gives no examples until one example last year in September, which seemed to be written almost as a response to my work. And it's a rather odd essay, and I provide the link to it on my homepage, and anyone is welcome to read it and look at it. But even in that very same essay, they admit that there is no medical literature, except for their report, to support the claim that diesels kill people. So diesel exhaust may kill some people occasionally, but very, very rarely. And this is surprising to some people, but it's well known to people in the mining industry, for example, where diesel engines are used underground almost all the time. In coal mines today, as well as in regular mines, diesel engines are also used in submarines underwater, because even though diesel exhaust can be very smelly and very annoying because of the acrid smell, it contains hardly any carbon monoxide. And carbon monoxide is the real killer if you have something to worry about from either a diesel engine or a gasoline engine. Carbon monoxide is completely odorless. So the smell of a diesel engine bears no relationship to the toxicity. And a lot of people just don't understand that. Most people don't understand that. That's why for a long time, this diesel gassing story seemed very credible for lots and lots of people. But in reality, when you understand the non-toxicity of diesel exhaust, the story falls apart very, very quickly.
Well, essentially then, as I read it, and I think you've summarized that very well, essentially then, there was a very suspicious story told by this guy, Kurt Gerstein, and then that story took on a life of its own, and all of a sudden, they were saying the Jews were being gassed all over Europe by diesel exhaust, And then so many people were willing to believe the story because, well, it was the post-war era. The Nazis were the bad guys. It was said that so many millions of Jews had died, and of course that figure has changed over the years, and that's another subject for another time. But basically, a lot of the belief based upon this subject of gassings by diesel exhaust is based on a profound lack of understanding about what diesel exhaust can really do. Is that a good assessment of what you've said?
That's pretty good. And
yeah,
it seemed like very good, and it was very good propaganda, because in the immediate post-war era, diesel engines were still quite new. And people might know diesel buses in New York City or someplace like that, and the smell was a shock. And so it was very easy for them to believe that the diesel exhaust was also dangerous. And since the diesel engine came from Germany, well, obviously there had to be some kind of a sinister connection in the minds of most people in those days.
So okay, well, Fritz, we're going to our first... Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were going to our first break. We have a little bit to go here. Let me pose another question then. Basically, a lot of these stories, and I flipped through some of the standard text on the Holocaust here before the program, the standard official text on the Holocaust, and they say basically that many, many numbers of Jews were crowded into rooms or into buses or into shacks and were gassed by diesel exhaust. Now, if you could, Fritz, tell us why that just isn't possible.
Well, first place, diesel exhaust actually contains a lot of oxygen. It contains, from an idling diesel, the exhaust still contains about 16% oxygen. And you can live very comfortably on that. If you wanted to kill people locked in a room, just shut off the air supply and people will suffocate rather quickly. But if you blow diesel exhaust into such a otherwise sealed room for half an hour, let's say, you are in effect ventilating a room. You're bringing fresh oxygen into the room. So for that reason as well, diesel exhaust makes no sense, because diesel exhaust from any idling diesel or even a fast-running diesel without any load on it, you're blowing oxygen in. You're helping keep the people alive. You're probably annoying the people because of the smell, and if those people are at all responding to anything, they're going to be banging on the walls trying to tear the place apart just from that annoying smell. They're not going to be lulled into an easy sleepless stupor, as you might want. They're going to be furious. And
so
they're going
so
to
in other words, then, effectively, if the Germans were really trying to kill all these people, they were really if they were doing it, and I don't buy the idea that they were, but if they were doing it, they were effectively prolonging these people's lives and actually doing it in a very, very inefficient way. And yet
Absolutely.
We're told they killed almost 2 million Jews this way.
Absolutely. Now, you could have used gasoline engine exhaust and you would have killed the people, but then there's another problem. And the other problem is that corpses of people who die from carbon monoxide are a bright cherry red with relatively few exceptions. And in the descriptions that Gerstein provided and others provided, more or less as a copycat type of testimony, they said the corpses were either colorless or blue. And those claims are totally at odds with any known carbon monoxide poisonings, at least the blue part. Corpses of people who would have been killed from carbon monoxide from gasoline engines would have been a bright, distinct red. And that's a standard diagnostic measure of likely causes of carbon monoxide. That's clearly spelled out in the forensic medical literature, and every medical examiner knows that.
All right, we're going to the break, folks. If you haven't checked out NaziGassings.com, it would pay you well to do that while we're talking about this subject with Fritz Berg, because NaziGassings.com has virtually everything you need to know about this subject. And I hope Richard Williamson is studying this website very carefully right now. Stay tuned, folks.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Welcome to America. It's time for change. The new president is talking about change. Are you talking about change? You know, changing your lifestyle to become more healthy? Well, here's how the staff at Life Change Tea feels. Make the change to be healthy before your body forces you to change. Organ failure, sickness, chemical poisoning, toxins, and much more. They'll force you to change for the worse. A willing change is much better than a change by force. Call Life Change Tea now. 928-308-0408. 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. You've heard it. Getthetea.com. Make an investment in your life. Life Change Tea. Oh, and P.S. You'll lose some weight.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Forgive me for my delay in coming back to you, but I was looking at Fritz Berg's website, NaziGassings.com, and it is just so full of facts. And, you know, Fritz, this is the important thing here. You're not just talking out of your hat here. You're talking from real experience, working around chemicals, machines, all sorts of elements here. And what you're responding to are stories that have been told by people over the years that have been reported repeatedly and magnified and expanded to such an extent that now people believe that millions of people died in the ways that we've talked about. And yet what you've shown here is that the official stories don't jibe with scientific reality.
Yeah, well, that's true. I would put it a little differently.
Please.
I think the evidence shows that there was a deliberate campaign to make this gas chamber story seem credible. And this was done by the various prosecutors at the Nuremberg trials and the related trials, and even by the German government years later. They went out of their way to put tremendous pressure on anyone that they could possibly get in their custody to get them to testify in support of these various gas chamber gassing claims, all of which are absolutely ridiculous.
And I would add myself, of course, that many of these so-called confessions came after these people had been subjected to torture, extreme mental and physical torture. So by that standard alone, the confessions would have to be somewhat dubious. But, you know, the other thing, Fritz, and you talk about this very effectively on your website at NaziGassings.com, you talk about the fact that even the Zyklon B legend, I guess most people would say it's some form of cyanide gas, that even the Zyklon B legend just doesn't stand up in the face of real scientific and technical scrutiny. And I wonder if you could talk about that for a minute or two before we go to our last break before the big 25-minute stretch.
Okay, I'd love to. Zyklon B was developed in Germany as a pesticide, and that goes back to already to the 1920s. And it was used worldwide to keep people alive. It was used to fumigate entire ships, for example. It was used to fumigate grain silos. Wherever you might have pest infestation of rats, lice, bugs of one sort or another, cyanide had proved already, even earlier, to be very, very effective. One of the advantages of cyanide is that it doesn't leave any residue. It doesn't leave a trace that might cause cancer later on. If it's used to fumigate grain, for example, once it's been vented out of the grain, there is nothing left. Other pesticides tend to leave something behind and can cause all kinds of medical problems, including cancer later on. And cyanide is, and Zyklon B are still used today worldwide for many pest control problems, including right here in the United States. Now, the Germans had excellent gas chambers that they built in various locations around the world to fumigate railroad trains, for example. And on my website, I show railroad delousing tunnels in places like Budapest, Hungary, and Posen in eastern Germany, which were used to fumigate entire railroad trains, one or two railroad cars at a time. And those same gas chambers would have also been ideal for gassing Jews to death if the Jews had simply been trapped in the railroad cars of those trains. It would have been childishly easy to pull one or two cattle cars or even passenger cars into some of those railroad delousing tunnels, gas everything, including the people on those trains, and then after an hour of ventilation inside the delousing tunnel, one could pull out the empty trains or cars and later on just remove the dead bodies. That would have made sense, technically, and the Germans would have certainly known about that. They described, in connection with all their advertisements for Zyklon B, they described how Zyklon B could also be used to fumigate railroad trains. There was no secret about this, and that would have worked. Budapest would have been an ideal place to gas the Hungarian Jews. But according to the legend, the Holocaust legend, the Jews were not gassed in Budapest. Instead, they were put on the trains and then shipped 120 miles to Auschwitz to be gassed, supposedly, in cellars with little holes in the ceilings and nothing more than that, not even cross-ventilation.
Well, even the famous gas chamber at Auschwitz, which, of course, was not a gas chamber, it was an underground, apparently it was a mortuary, a place where they did put dead bodies. Right. They would have had to have the people go down there, then walk them back up. Why didn't they do it in the train?
Right.
Folks, if you want to call in here, it's 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We'll be back with more from Fritz Berg. We have a 25-minute stretch ahead of us. Already have some good information.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, get your pen and paper handy. We're going to give you an address where you can reach Fritz Berg, and I hope you will send a contribution to him. You can check out his address if you go to the bottom of his website at NaziGassings.com, just like it sounds, NaziGassings.com. You can find his address down there, but we will give it out in a moment or so here. Well, Fritz, you know, we only have a very short time here tonight, but, you know, you've already hit on some very important points. And, of course, on your website, you go into all of this in detail. But I would just, I'm expecting we'll get a few phone calls here. Before we do, though, I wonder if there's any further points you'd like to make about Zyklon B or about any other matter that you feel we should discuss.
Well, one important fact is that there are lots of Holocaust survivors alive in the world today. Some people think, well, if the Germans didn't kill them all, where did they go? Well, they went all over the place. They went to the United States, to Israel, all over. There was a breakthrough study published in Israel in 2003 in which a very reputable demographer, an Israeli demographer named Sergio Della Pergola, wrote a report in which he said there were 1,093,000 Jewish Holocaust survivors still alive in the world in 2003. And those were just Jews from the war who had remained Jewish. Many Jews just abandoned their Judaism after the war if they had been living, for example, in Eastern Europe under communism, or perhaps intermarried or just got fed up with Judaism. Why not? And so this study from an Israeli demographer in an official report is absolutely stunning because it totally undermines this myth that all the Jews of Europe were killed and there is no question about it or anything like that. It's very obvious today that just the opposite is the case.
Well, you know, that figure you're giving, which is just, as I gather, just slightly over a million, these are people who lived, you know, who obviously didn't die before 1945 and lived well into the 1990s. That study alone then would not even crank in all of potentially a million other people, and I'm throwing that figure out very loosely, but so many other people who lived beyond 1945 but didn't live long enough to participate in that, 1993 survey?
2003.
2003, that adds 10 years to it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so I'm sorry, forgive me for that. Yeah, so obviously if the Israelis themselves are admitting that more than a million Jews were alive in 2003 who were quote-unquote Holocaust survivors, that means then that the number of Jews who survived World War II had then to be much larger than the original claims. And as I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, they said that roughly 700,000 Jews had survived. Is that about in the ballpark?
I think the claims in that regard are all over the place.
Well, that's
usually
true enough.
usually the numbers are much, much smaller. They were claiming for years that the remaining Jews in Poland into the 1990s was only like 8,000. You know, from a pre-war population of about 3 to 3.5 million. And that is just an example of how wild these reduction claims are as to the Jewish population. They're absolutely bizarre.
You know, and, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Fritz, because I did see that reference, those references on your website to that. And I think that's important to drive that home because it's not only in the area of the technical considerations regarding the so-called gassings, but in so many other areas over the past 50 years, Holocaust revisionists have looked into so many different areas and have found that the official stories, whether it's the numbers or the technical capacity or the actual processes of uprooting the Jews from Europe and transferring them to the concentration camps in Eastern Europe, the official stories just don't jibe with the facts. And these are facts, like you've cited, from an Israeli source. That's just one case alone.
I'll give you another one if I can.
Please.
Elie Wiesel. Elie Wiesel is the poster boy of the Holocaust. And I've made the claim again and again that he actually was a pro-Nazi collaborator, and that's clearly spelled out in his book, in his most famous book, Night, which is available for everyone in the world to read. Unfortunately, hardly anyone seems to read his book critically, but he explains very clearly that he and his father, in late January of 1945, were given a choice by the Germans, which was to either remain in Auschwitz and await the Russians, who were coming within days at most, to take over the camp, or collaborate with the Germans and be evacuated to the west on foot at night in the middle of winter, okay? He and his father both chose to go west with the retreating Nazis, the retreating SS, with the very same people who had supposedly been killing millions of Jews in Auschwitz. Okay, now that is just incredible, and yet it's clearly spelled out in Elie Wiesel's most famous book of all. Elie Wiesel was not there at the liberation, and he doesn't go to the Auschwitz liberation events that take place almost every year in Auschwitz today, in January usually, partly because he chose not to be liberated by the Russians. He chose to go with the Germans and, in effect, chose to work for the Germans in any way they chose to put him to work. And so did tens of thousands of other Jews.
You know, Chris, the other day, I got that fact off your website, and I rattled that off to a friend of mine who is a deep believer in the Holocaust legends, and I asked him to explain that to me. We were talking on the telephone, and there was this dead silence, and I said, well, explain it. And he said, well, I can't.
You can't.
Yeah, it's just these kind of things. These are these perfect examples that I was talking about, and so much of this appears on your website. Now, Fritz, I want to let you give people your address in Phoenix, Arizona, where they can send a check or money order to help you out to keep maintaining this website.
All right.
So go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, my proper name is Friedrich Paul Berg. The address is 4757 East Greenway Road, Suite 107B, Postal Mailbox 155, Phoenix, Arizona, 85032. I'll give that again if I may.
Yeah, please.
4757 East Greenway Road, Suite 107B, PMB for Postal Mailbox Number 155. And if I can trouble you a little more, I'd like to plug another website that I may.
Yeah, please do.
That I have a friendly relationship with. It's the Adolf Hitler Research Society at www.hitlerresearch.org. And it's run by a very courageous young lady who's very, very interested in this whole subject. She has a different area of expertise, but it's absolutely mind-boggling what she has put together also. It's not repetitious, or it's not a repeat of things I've written. She's done her own kind of research, and it's really quite impressive.
Yeah, fortunately, Fritz, most of the people who are listening tonight are listening on the Internet, so they're Internet savvy, so they'll be able to go to NaziGassings.com or what's that other address now? Hitler Research?
Adolf Hitler Research Society.
And that's .com or .org?
.org. Well,
okay,
the actual website address is www.hitlerresearch.org.
Hitlerresearch.org. That's great. I haven't had a chance to check that out, but I'm looking forward to it. You know, there's no area of history that is so distorted as this whole area of World War II and the Holocaust and Adolf Hitler. And, you know, since I've started this program, Fritz, which has been about 3 years ago now, and I've told Willis Cardo this, and I've told other people who are not regular Internet devotees, they just would not imagine how much nonsense, above and beyond the old Holocaust legends, so much nonsense about the Hitler era and World War II and the Holocaust that's out there now, that in some respects is even more outrageous than the Holocaust stories, if you can believe that.
I certainly do, and I do try to get into that more and more as time goes on. In my view, if I may, I'll say that although I wasn't a particularly keen admirer of Adolf Hitler many years ago, in hindsight, today, my view has changed. If it had not been for Mr. Hitler, we would all, I'm afraid, be living under communism today.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler's attack on the Soviet Union in June of 1941 was a preemptive strike. It wasn't an act of some aggression, no doubt about it, but that's what saved the West completely, because if it had not been for his attack on the Soviet Union and the ferocity of the German war against communism, we would have seen all of Europe fall to communism within a few years, by 1946 at the very latest. The only thing that prevented a complete world takeover by communism was the fact that the United States had the atomic bomb later on. But before that, what saved Western civilization, without any doubt as far as I'm concerned, was Adolf Hitler. And for that, he deserves our eternal admiration and praise.
And you know, Fritz, it's kind of interesting that some of the most vehement denunciations of Adolf Hitler come from people who call themselves conservatives and anti-communists.
I know, and it's so silly and pathetic.
Well, this is what we're dealing with, and you know the slogan here of the Republic Broadcasting Network is you can handle the truth, and that's what I've tried to do since I've begun with this broadcast. There's a lot of people who get very uneasy when you talk about the truths about World War II and about Adolf Hitler and about this so-called Holocaust. But, you know, if we're going to be confronting the problems we have in our society, in our world today, we can only do it by dealing with the facts and with the truth. And, you know, a lot of people just don't like the truth.
That's right. And part of the problem is that the hoaxers, the conspirators, are still at work today. They didn't just retire in 1946 or 47 after the Nuremberg trials. They're still at work in Hollywood, in the government of Germany today, throughout the world, to come up with even more intense anti-Nazi, anti-Hitler propaganda. You can find hardly anything about Mao Zedong or even Saddam Hussein today, but anti-Hitler programming on television is almost continuous.
Well, that's a friend of mine refers to the History Channel as the Hitler Channel.
right, exactly. Yeah. And when you look at the names of the people who are behind the broadcasting, they're invariably Jews and very passionate Jews who are obviously trying to make pro-Jewish, anti-Nazi propaganda, just as intense as in the years before World War II.
Yeah, in fact, if anything, it's obviously intensified. A Jewish writer, I think his name is Peter Novick, points out in his book, The Holocaust in American Life, that so much of what we know today or think today about the Holocaust is really only of recent origin, that back in the 1950s, even American Jews were largely indifferent to the Holocaust. It was not something that was part and parcel of their being, and yet now we're constantly bombarded with this from Hollywood, from the mass media, from publications, and people just have no idea that there is this immense amount of material on the other side, so to speak, just at your website alone, and your website is one of probably half a dozen really great websites that focus on various aspects of this Holocaust story.
I agree.
Okay, well, we haven't gotten any calls yet, Fritz. I'm not surprised, though, because I don't think there's anybody out there that disagrees with what you have to say. But I would say that if there is anyone out there who wants to challenge Fritz Berg and just show where he's wrong, this is your opportunity to shine. Right here before the entire world, you can prove that the Holocaust happened. So call in here at 800-313-9443. Well, Fritz, we have about 2 minutes before our final break. Any other points you'd like to make?
Well, another focus of some of my thinking has been the Anne Frank story. Anne Frank was not killed by the Nazis. She was not killed in Auschwitz, even though she spent several months there at a time when the gas chambers and all of the mass killings were supposedly in full swing. She died in Bergen-Belsen, and she died of typhus. And one of the points I make is that she died indirectly as a result of American and British bombing and strafing of Bergen-Belsen and the area around Bergen-Belsen. She was a victim of the terror bombing that came from the United States primarily, but also to a great extent from Britain. And when people like Eisenhower and many of America's leaders, you know, reacted with outrage at the horrors that they saw in places like Bergen-Belsen and Buchenwald, they really should have been ashamed of themselves instead, because those horrors, and there's no doubt that these were horrible scenes, those things were really their own handiwork. Those people basically were hired killers for the Jews, and they did a lot of killing, especially in the last few months of the war. But the real horrors in those last months of the war were their own doing. They were not the doing of the Nazis. The Nazis tried to keep...
Anne Frank was at Auschwitz, but they didn't gas her when she was at Auschwitz.
Right, right. That's the standard story. That's admitted. She was brought west to Bergen-Belsen, where she got sick with typhus and died of typhus about 2 weeks before the camp was taken over by the British. But the Germans had turned the camp over to the British voluntarily because they wanted the help from the British to try to keep people alive. If the British had managed to take the camp earlier, she would have been alive and probably, you know, doing Hollywood tours.
There you go. All right, we do have a couple callers. We'll be able to squeeze in one when we get back. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, check it out, NaziGassings.com. If you have any doubts about what you've heard here tonight, you can check it out for yourself. And you can write Fritz Berg. His email address is up there, too. All right, stay tuned, folks.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Alright, folks, you know that we always want to build our listenership here at Republic Broadcasting, and now RBN is making available 100 pre-printed cards with all the information people need to know about RBN. It's 100 cards for just $8, and you can mail them out to your friends and enemies and everybody else. You can check out the address of Republic Broadcasting right here at the website at republicbroadcasting.org. And, of course, it's based in Round Rock, Texas. RBN 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302. That's 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or you can call the office at RBN at 1-800-692-5000. 724-2719. Spread the word, folks, so that more people can hear about great websites like NaziGassings.com and hear people like Fritz Berg here on this network, no other network. Okay, Fritz, we have room for just the one quick call. We're going to bring up Byron from Canada. Byron, fire away.
I'll be real quick. Hey, I agree pretty much with everything your guest said, but I got a couple questions. I farm. I run diesel tractors, and I tell you there's been times where I've started my tractor up in a shed with the doors closed and started it up, and I tell you, if I didn't get those doors opened pretty damn quick, you'll get sick. Like I said, I'm still alive, so I can't tell you if it killed me or not, if it would kill anybody, but you can sure get sick by smelling diesel fumes. Hey, the other thing is, you remember the trial when David Irvin was suing that Deborah Dipshit or whatever her name
yeah.
was?
Yeah.
Did he not admit in that trial or after the trial that there was some Jews that might have been killed by diesel gassing?
Fritz, Irving has waffled on this subject all over the place, and he seems to think there were some experimental gassings. As far as I know, that's his current position, but he is anything but an authority. I don't think he can be taken seriously on any of the technical issues. As far as getting sick from diesel exhaust, it never happens, and I'm quite sure you would not have gotten sick. The acrid smell is extremely annoying. It's a kind of warning ingredient, a very powerful warning ingredient or warning agent, but you're not going to get sick in any serious way. For long-term exposures, you might get cancer. That's the real danger from diesel exhaust. But the idea that you're going to get sick from short-term exposures is an absolute myth.
And then, of course, as you pointed out and as your website makes very, very clear, in many other respects, the technical aspects of gassing such a substantial number of people, even by Zyklon B, is just not part and parcel of what the official story has told us.
Well, yeah. It's absurd for all kinds of reasons. One reason it's absurd is that there were real gas chambers only about 100 yards away from the alleged homicidal gas chamber. And you can see those still today at Auschwitz. Those real gas chambers were used to fumigate clothing, and they have intense blue staining on the walls, even to this very day.
And that's where they used the Zyklon B.
Zyklon B was used, and only to keep people alive. And the blue stain is not only on the inside walls, but even on the exterior brick walls. Even 50 years of weathering, rain, snow, hail, heat, has done next to nothing to get rid of that intense blue staining. But for the alleged gas chambers for mass murder, there is no blue staining whatsoever anywhere.
All right, Fritz, I hear that music. I want to thank you for coming aboard. I think some people learned things here tonight, and if they didn't learn it tonight, they need to study NaziGassings.com. NaziGassings.com, ladies and gentlemen. It's all there. If you have any doubts, you won't have any doubts after you've studied this website.
Thank you very much for having me, Mike.
Thanks, Fritz. Okay. Appreciate it very much.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here tonight.
With recent internet.